29 U.S. states have some sort of relaxed position on marijuana, and most Americans approve. Forbes magazine predicts a $44 billion cannabis economy by the year 2020, which could do a lot of good for cash-strapped states. At the same time, the use of medicinal plants is growing rapidly worldwide, with U.S. consumers supporting a $37 billion diet and health supplements industry. Marijuana is now effectively on the medicinal plant list, and entrepreneurs are lining up while related industries look for scientists and technicians to research new products and to ensure quality and safety. We'll look at the country's first college major in medicinal plant chemistry just ahead on Media Meet. Hello and welcome to WNMU's Media Meet. I'm Bill Hart. Our guests are from the Northern Michigan University Chemistry Department. They are Professor and Department Chair Mark Paulson, Professor Leslie Putman, and Associate Professor Brandon Canfield. Welcome.
Good to be here. Yeah.
Let's begin with information on the chemistry department and the expertise represented here. How comprehensive are NMU chemistry studies?
So we offer five different majors. We offer a chemistry major, a biochemistry emphasis. For about 10 years, we've had a forensic biochemistry emphasis for people interested working in crime labs. Clearly, we work closely with the School of Education on the training of chemistry and science teachers in the schools. And now we're starting this new medicinal plant chemistry program.
Okay. Could we hear briefly from each of you about your duties and specialties and your connection to the medicinal plants chemistry program? Leslie?
I'm a biochemist, and specifically I'm a plant biochemist, so that's my connection to the program.
I see.
And I helped Brandon with putting the curriculum together.
Excellent. Brandon?
Yeah, I'm an analytical chemist, and I've always had an interest in plants. I actually started out as an undergrad as a plant biologist and kind of was more interested in the chemistry and migrated that way. And I think a lot of the research I've been doing falls under this category of medicinal plant chemistry, even though the plants themselves I've been working with aren't obviously associated with the medicinal plant group.
Okay.
So my area of expertise is physical chemistry. My connection to the program is really mostly administrative as department head.
Okay.
I'm sort of the public face of the department, and I interact with all sorts of people.
All right. I understand the inspiration for this relatively new major came from an American Chemical Society meeting in which a session focused on cannabis. Can you tell us about the meeting and the academic vision that came out of it, I guess?
Yeah, so that was me. I was at the conference presenting. I had a talk about a board game, actually, that I'd kind of developed for a course.
You like to use those for teaching, I understand.
Yeah, for teaching.
That's
so
good.
This was. I was pretty excited to be there. Had a free day, and these conferences are massive. Week-long events scattered around major cities, and so. Yeah, I saw on the schedule there was a cannabis chemistry is actually an official subcommittee or subdivision of the American Chemical Society. And so they had a day-long session, and I sat in there. And it was a lot of people that session related to lab accreditation services.
Wow.
And also just general researchers in the area. And the takeaway message as I was sitting there was that this was actually in San Diego, so this was pre-recreational California, but
yeah.
California already had a huge medicinal marijuana industry. And the takeaway message was just there's a huge demand for trained analytical chemists who are qualified to test for the cannabinoids, to do all sorts of testing. Obviously, this was a cannabis chemistry talk, so
sure.
Specifically on marijuana.
We should note that California now has entered that,
right,
that phase, that
January
recreational marijuana phase that began in January. Go ahead.
Yeah. So Anyway, there was a lot of kind of anecdotal stories about doing these site visits that these people had done where the lab conditions were not anything we would consider to be a good environment for doing testing. Okay. And it was also often operated by people who were maybe self-taught, maybe formally educated in botany, horticulture, but really had no experience on the chemistry side. And so as an analytical chemist, you know, I'm obviously there are people out there trained to do this, but in general at the undergraduate level, we don't necessarily have specific analytical chemistry programs. Usually that's something of more of a specialty you would enter in graduate school to get especially a lot of the instrumental experience. But I came back and talked to Leslie about this, and we kind of put this program together that really combines aspects of what most students wouldn't see until graduate school with a lot of this instrumental experience, and then also kind of compressed the chemistry degree. As Mark said, we offer several different chemistry degrees that might be a lot more wide-ranging. So this is slightly more narrow focused, but we're sort of packaging everything into this nice 4-year degree.
Okay, let's talk about the equipment side of this. Now, reportedly, this session led to an innovation award within NMU that issued in funds to buy a key piece of equipment for chemical analysis of such compounds. Tell us about the acknowledgement and the award, and what's so special about the gear that came with it?
Well, the program was from the Provost's Office for the Program Initiative Fund. They were looking for innovative programs from academic departments. Right? Yep. Okay. So many different departments submitted a variety of proposals. We were one of the ones that was funded, and we asked for monies to help launch the program, and some of that included instrumentation. And I think maybe Leslie can tell you a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so the instrumentation we wanted was LC mass spec, which stands for liquid chromatograph mass spectrometer. And so that's not
an... She goes on TV once in a while.
Yeah, that's not something we had. We have LC, liquid chromatography, but this combines two techniques, liquid chromatography and mass spectrometry. And so you put them together, and you can determine the identity of a compound. So the chromatograph part separates a mixture of compounds into individual compounds, and then you can use the mass spec to determine what the structure of that compound is.
Wow.
So something very essential for studying plant extracts, because number one, they're always mixtures, and then a lot of them are structures that you haven't seen before, and so you need to be able to see new, novel structures.
I've read the program took about a year to develop. When did the first class convene, and what were the key challenges in getting it up and running?
Well, we're just starting. We first started accepting students in the fall of 2017, and we start our first class that's specific to the major this coming semester, and it's a seminar class. So we haven't had any problems yet.
All right. Perhaps significant here, and Brandon mentioned this, is that cannabis chemistry is now a recognized subdivision of the American Chemical Society. I've read that marijuana's federal classification is a Schedule I drug, which puts it alongside heroin and cocaine. Limited opportunities for research. Could you comment on past research and what's happened to open up the field?
So I think that's a really broad question. I think when we think about these medicinal plants, you know, often the first type of research that comes to mind would be human or animal subject therapeutic research. What effects do these chemicals cause in a biological organism? And so that research certainly has been restricted in the sense that there's a lot of bureaucracy to move through to conduct that research. At the same time, that's not at all the type of research that we would be interested in.
Okay.
So again, this is much more of an analytical chemistry program. So the analysis side of things really doesn't depend too much on the scheduling or the legal status.
Okay, nothing you did then was inhibited at all by DEA policy or anything like that related to marijuana?
At this point, it's not. Mm-hmm. I suspect if we were actually trying to grow our own samples or if we actually were processing marijuana on campus, okay, that may become an issue that we would need to look at. But right now, it's not.
It's not an issue. Good.
I think a good example is, as Mark mentioned, we have this forensic biochemistry program. And I've taught some courses in that program. I've been teaching the students how to analyze for a variety of drugs in there that are including Schedule I drugs. And it's not a problem. You know, these are, and it's good experience. These are students that are going to go on and work in crime labs. They need to know how to do this. And I think we're sort of looking at this program in much the same way. The analysis, it's a technical process that we're not really crossing boundaries.
Complaints were rife, you know, across the country from scientists who said, we don't have any access to this. We can't do the work we need to do to determine if some use of it might be safe and effective, to even know what the stuff really is. So the shift in public sentiment is clearly revealed in a just-released Rasmussen poll of 1,000 likely voters, showing that 49% favor the legalization of recreational marijuana. The numbers are much higher for medical marijuana. What's the general position within the scientific and academic communities? Any questions of legitimacy come up?
I haven't seen any.
Haven't seen any?
Most people are happy about our program because it gives legitimacy to the field. Because,
okay,
you know, this is a serious program. We're going to be studying how to analyze it, and maybe if it's ever legal, we'll be studying the chemistry of the plant.
Okay. Increasing acceptance led President Obama to take a hands-off approach to properly regulated state marijuana initiatives. The properly regulated meant this stuff doesn't cross state lines, a number of other things that might be sensitive issues for law enforcement. Now U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions says he's rolling back those protections. One might expect a chilling effect on marijuana research programs and education, but the poll shows 56% of voters want to leave such matters to the states, while 29% believe it should be federally controlled, and 16% just aren't sure. What would you say to Sessions if you were asked about the new NMU major?
Well, I think the thing we would emphasize is that the focus is on techniques and fundamental understanding, valid for all sorts of plants.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly can be used to study cannabis, but can be used to study any number of other plants. And so we don't really see an issue with the change in regulations, at least not directly.
Okay. In other words, this is a science program. It's not a growers program.
Exactly.
Okay. Northern has said the program will comply with state and federal laws, but marijuana is still illegal under federal law, hence the policy stuff from Sessions. How does one comply with both?
Well, we're not going to have any cannabis on campus.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to grow it. We're not going to bring samples in to analyze. Brandon will get analytical amounts to use on the LC mass spec, but
those are tiny, right?
So and that's something we've been dealing with the forensic biochemistry program for some time. That the federal government, they have the regulations in place, but also recognize that, you know, research is a fundamental component to moving forward. And so we have available to us these trivial amounts that are more than enough for our purposes. They're the kind of things that, you know, when we go back to that other side of research, maybe human or animal subject, they're well below what would be useful for that. But for us, I mean, we need, you know, micrograms of this stuff to handle on the instrument.
Thanks to these machines, right? Okay. Let me take a moment here to remind our viewers and especially our radio listeners that we're talking about the country's first medicinal plant chemistry program. With NMU chemistry professor and department chair Mark Paulson, Professor Leslie Putman, and associate professor Brandon Canfield. The question I was going to ask next was, are NMU students growing cannabis as part of the medicinal program? And I assume they're not.
Absolutely not.
Okay. If not, how does one purchase these substances, and what quantities are required? You said they're, you know, minuscule quantities, but where do you get them?
There are research chemical suppliers that, you know, provide and package these sorts of things. With these types of compounds, they themselves need the DEA permission to package these. Okay. But generally, it's less than one milligram is what's considered a DEA-exempt preparation. So even if it's a Schedule I compound, yeah, if you are purchasing from a regulated vendor, okay, under one milligram, it's acceptable.
I see. While a significant part of the medicinal plant chemistry major concerns marijuana, there are many other compounds found in the growing field of diet and health supplements that also need to be accurately measured and described. What are some of the other herbs and plant substances with some therapeutic application being studied? Any?
Well, some that are familiar to most people are echinacea and golden seal and St. John's wort. Those are all plants that are known to have medicinal properties. So, you know, we would have students growing some of those or any of them. There's a lot in the Native American culture that are used for medicinal purposes. So there's plenty of things that they can grow and study.
And there's some opportunities there as some of the Native American networking goes all across the continent, you know, and across into Latin America, South America.
And certainly plant-based medicines have been part of many Asian cultures for thousands of years, and so there are lots of opportunities there to study some of those plants as well.
This is an area that experts say has been poorly or inadequately researched. There are all sorts of plants and all sorts of strains. Will the program itself contribute to improving baseline and other data we have on medicinal plants?
I think it could, because we're going to have students doing projects. They're going to choose their plant, they're going to grow it, they're going to extract it, and then they're going to analyze what compounds are in there. And there might be some compounds they find that have already been discovered, but there could be compounds that have not yet been discovered.
Okay. Will students be testing for the integrity of existing products to help ensure quality and safety? Some tests on behalf of consumers, for example, have found products that don't even have the DNA of the so-called active ingredient in them. But I'm talking about packaged sorts of supplements. I don't know if that's part of what you're going to do or not.
I would expect, you know, again, the students are going to design their research projects. That's kind of a major component of this program that we don't often spend a lot of time on, that I think is a huge benefit, that there's a research project built in so the students don't have to find time outside of class to do this independently.
Okay.
But so they're going to design their own, which we sort of imagine will involve them growing some other plant of their choice or something, but I could totally see a project based on, you know, doing that kind of analysis of you know, a range of consumer products, herbal teas, herbal supplements, all of that, just to see, you know, does the label match the analysis?
Yeah, it's going to be really helpful, I think. There's a lot of people involved. We should also note that the NMU Medicinal Plants Chemistry major has two tracks. Mm-hmm. One essentially scientific and analytical, the other more entrepreneurial. What are the differences in the objectives there?
Well, the programs both have the same core of science courses, chemistry and plant biology, some geography and math courses, but then they have, in the entrepreneurial track, you blend that with courses in marketing and accounting and how to raise venture capital. So if your student is thinking about finding their own business, starting their own business. The other track is focused more on students who want, instead of the business experience, additional scientific training in genetics and other advanced analytical techniques.
Okay. Basically, as I understand it, you've got, what, 120 credits to a major, and about 80 of those have to be within the major? I mean, 120 credits to graduate, and 80 of those within the major? Okay. Will this split emphasis apply to all medicinal plant specialties under the program?
Yeah, well, each student will pick either the entrepreneurial track or the bioanalytical track, okay. Although certainly I've had a number of students interested in somehow completing both tracks, and, you know, we'll discuss how that might be possible.
Yeah. Addressing outcomes, what will people in each track be qualified to do upon graduation?
Well, people from both tracks will be qualified to work in a lab because, okay. You know, the core courses include all the basic chemistry plus the analytical techniques, so any of them could go get a job in a lab. The ones that choose the entrepreneurial track will probably be ones that want to start a company or, you know, dispense or grow or work in a company. The other track would be people that just want to be in the lab doing analysis or doing research, too. They'd have the background for that.
Okay. The method of this course of study appears to be structured around seminars. You'd mentioned that earlier. From, as I understand it, from the first year right to the last. Could you explain that process and its benefits for students as they proceed in the program?
Well, I think part of that has to do with the fact that this industry and environment is changing so rapidly that the seminar format kind of gives us some flexibility to keep up with that.
More adaptable, you think?
To bring in, relevant contemporary speakers who can give us an immediate update. For example, we're pretty excited. Our first speaker lined up for the seminar series this semester is Shelley Edgerton, the director of Michigan LARA, the Licensing and Regulation Agency.
Right.
So they're overseeing the major overhaul of the Michigan regulations that are going into effect now or soon.
Right.
And so she's going to be up here to talk to the students, and it'll be open to the community as well. So we're pretty excited about that. But the seminar, I mean, it's an annual thing. It also serves a purpose to bring all of the students together, which is kind of unique for an undergraduate
program. A lot of peer education opportunities.
Yeah,
though, right?
Yeah, for sure, where you have your advanced students working on their research projects, helping, you know, the newer students develop their own research questions and their projects.
Okay. And as I understand it, then, at the end of that course of your course of study, you're expected to do a presentation in seminar form on some, sounds similar to a master's thesis or something like that. Yeah. Certainly a final paper, senior paper.
Yeah, and a presentation. That's the intention for sure. That capstone course, it's a year long, which also is kind of unique. I mean, it's two separate courses for the different semesters, but it's intended to be a year-long course.
Yeah.
Part of that is, again, the time needed to complete a research project on the part of the students. Also, because we're dealing with plants, they needed time if they were growing something to allow a plant to grow or plants to grow. Yeah. But certainly at the end, yeah, they're going to be presenting their results.
Okay. Forbes magazine recently called the marijuana movement the greatest entrepreneurial opportunity going at this time, and the need for better science is there, obviously. What's the current enrollment in the medicinal plants chemistry program, and how many students can you accommodate? It might be limited.
So we had about 25 students last semester, which was the first semester of the program. That's going to about double. There are going to be 50 students, give or take, next week on campus. And as I said, we have several hundred applications for next fall. So
wow.
There's a potential for a huge amount of growth.
Can you accommodate all those students?
That's going to be a little bit complicated because of the requirement for the senior research project, the capstone experience. There's only so many people you can fit in a lab or who can use a particular instrument at one time, and so we're discussing how to ramp up our facilities and equipment to maybe meet the demand.
Great. How about prospects for placement? I mean, if Forbes is right, these should fly out of here to jobs.
I mean, we're getting calls all the time, obviously from interested students, but also from businesses who want to meet our students, who maybe want to take our students as interns, or who just want to maintain contact so that when we start producing graduates, they have a line in.
Okay. Enough signatures have been gathered to put full legalization of marijuana on the 2018 Michigan ballot, an effort that failed 2 years ago. And while most signs point to voter approval in this case, if the ballot issue fails, what might happen to NMU's medicinal plant chemistry program? Anything?
I can't see that it would be affected by that because there's still medicinal plant chemistry, there's still medicinal marijuana available and being used, and then there's other states too. Yeah. We do have people from other states in our program.
Oh, really? Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're getting even international interest. Certainly, Canada now is...
Which has a big program.
...fully legal for recreational use, at least soon. We have students from Canada interested, South America, Europe.
Yeah. Really great. The Medicinal Plants Chemistry Program sets a precedent and perhaps poses a challenge to a lot of institutions. Where do you hope to be with this program, say, 5 years from now?
Well, we've had a lot of suggestions about things like online and a minor and graduate programs, but you know, to be honest, in 5 years, I hope we just have our four-year undergraduate well established because you know the other things are, you know, would be a lot of work because you know this is not online if we have people using instruments and you know we might be able to do a minor, but. Yeah, but we are happy to have other universities copy our program or do something like it because there's the demand out there, and I mean we're the first, but yeah, everyone else can get on board and start their program too. That would be fine with us.
Okay. Any comment here?
I would say we'd want to see that the first couple of cohorts that we've graduated are able to share their success stories with us. We expect, you know, they'll be finding good jobs or building interesting business opportunities, and we'll know a lot more in 4 or 5 years.
Any pieces of gear you'd love to have?
Pretty excited about this new instrument that we got. It's amazingly powerful.
Okay. Well, I'm afraid we're going to have to call it for time. We've been talking about the country's first medicinal plant chemistry major here at Northern Michigan University with Professor and Department Chair Mark Paulson, Professor Leslie Putman, and Associate Professor Brandon Canfield. Thanks very much for being here.
Thank you.
I'm Bill Hart. Thanks for joining us on Media Meet.
The preceding program was produced in studios located in the Edgar L. Hardin Learning Resources Center by WNMU-TV, Northern Michigan University Public Television.